I want you to imagine that you are in a battle. Okay, so you're standing there and you've got an army in front of you. Are you doing that? Are you picturing that? An army in front of you. Enemies who are about to attack and rush against you. And the question is, are you going to stand or are you going to surrender? Are you going to stand or are you going to surrender? Right. I want some volunteers. First of all, I'd like a child in year 5 or year 6. Or year 4. There's a hand. Yes, coming up, Tizza. And now I would like a lot of children in any year. Come on down and stand at the back there. Right, Tizza. You're in a battle. Stand at the back there. Everyone stand at the back. You stay here. Anyone else want to go down? Yvonne, are you joining in? Okay, so Tirza, they're the enemy. And they're going to charge against you. And you're going to have to decide, are you going to stand or surrender? Okay? Right, enemy. You are going to charge against Tirza. And when you charge, you're going to roar. So I'd like to hear a practice roar. Okay, so after three, I'd like to hear a practice roar. One, two, three. I'd like to hear a slightly bigger roar. So after three, one, two, three. That's better. Okay, so after three, any elderly folk, are you out the way? Small babies. After three, you're going to charge Tirza, and she's going to decide whether she's going to stand or surrender. You ready? One, two, three. You run, yeah. You're attacking. Nicely. Okay, just nicely. Well done, Tirza. Tirza stood her ground. She stood up against the enemy. Okay, we might have some, grab one of those. I've got some more if there aren't enough there. Just do it quickly. And then go and grab a seat. You grab one as well. You do that. Okay. Very good. Thank you, everyone. Well done, Tirza, for standing your grounds. So, Christians, we are in a battle. It's not a physical battle. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that Christians are in a physical battle. Nowhere in the Bible where it says that Christians must fight a physical enemy. But we are in a spiritual battle. That's what it says in our passage today. Thank you. Our struggle, where's that? Ephesians 6. Our struggle, chapter 6, verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a struggle. And it's not against flesh and blood, physical people. It's against spiritual forces of evil. It's against Satan and his army. All Christians are in a struggle. And so we need to decide what we're going to do in this struggle. Are we going to stand or are we going to surrender? So in our preaching through Ephesians, we've learned a lot, haven't we? It's been a story of how God, since the beginning of time, planned to create his new family. He's created a family by sending his son Jesus to die on a cross so that individual people can trust in Jesus and join God's family. And as they join God's family, they become part of a worldwide, history-wide family. And then Paul goes on to say in the second half how we live as this new family, what difference it makes to our relationships in church, in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, what difference it makes being part of God's new family. But before Paul finishes, he wants to make one last point. All isn't quite as rosy as it might seem, because we still have an enemy. We still have an enemy, Satan and his forces of evil. And what are we going to do against that enemy? Are we going to stand or are we going to surrender? Now, three facts about Satan. Three facts about Satan. First fact, he is real. We might think Satan's one of those funny characters we see on the TV. He's got horns, he's got a tail, he's normally red, and we can laugh at him. But the Bible says Satan is real. And he commands an army of evil. Satan is real. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. That is our reality. We can't see him, but he's real. Second fact about Satan, he is defeated. When Jesus died on the cross, as we saw in that little video there, Jesus defeated Satan. Paul wrote in Colossians, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, that's Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When he died on the cross, he was defeating his enemies. Sin, death, the devil. And he was triumphing over them. He made a public spectacle of them. Satan is defeated. And third fact, he still fights. Chapter 6, verse 11. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He might be defeated, but he has schemes. He has plans. He attacks. Satan doesn't want to lie down. It's a bit like the Second World War. D-Day, the Allied forces land on the shores of Normandy, June 1944, and they achieve a decisive victory against the Axis forces, Germany, Italy, and they effectively defeat those Axis forces. But Germany doesn't surrender. It's still 11 months of fierce fighting, rooting out those soldiers who are hiding out in different places until finally they get to Berlin. And Berlin surrenders. The Axis forces surrenders. And then the war is finally over in that part of the world. 11 months of fierce fighting till the war is finally over, even though the decisive victory has happened already. We're in that 11 months here. Jesus has achieved that decisive victory over Satan. He is defeated. But he doesn't want to lie down right now. He still fights. He still schemes. So how does he scheme? How does he fight? The main way he fights is by tempting us to doubt God's word. Like we saw in that little video, back in the Garden of Eden against Adam and Eve, Satan comes along and he whispers in our ears, tempting us to doubt God's word. Did God really say? That's not really going to happen. You're not really going to die. You can't really believe that. You can't really trust God. Satan whispers in our ear, tempting us to doubt God's word. Here are some examples. You're not really a Christian. He whispers in our ear, you're not really a Christian. You're not good enough to be a Christian. You're not the right sort of person to be a Christian. Those other guys, yeah, they've got it sorted, but you haven't got what it takes to be a Christian. It leads to doubt, lack of assurance. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't believe enough. Maybe Jesus hasn't died for me. Or this world is all there is. He whispers in our ear. This world is all there is, so just make the most of it. Greed, consumerism, take what you can take out of this world because there's nothing else. Whispers in our ear. Or you're not good enough for God. That sin you did yesterday, that sin you did just this last hour, you're not good enough for God, which leads to legalism, insecurity, no joy. Maybe I'm not good enough for joy. What do I have to do? Maybe I need to work harder. I need to please God somehow. What do I need to do to make God accept me? Or can there really be a God if this world, can there really be a God if this world is so messed up? We look around and see the suffering in this world. Surely there can't be. If this happens, Satan whispers in our ear, doubt. And God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. You're not happy right now. Your wife doesn't make you happy. This other woman makes you happy. Just leave your wife. Then you'll be happy. If it makes you happy, just do it. Whispers in our ear, Satan tempting us to doubt God's word. How are we going to fight against that? So how are we going to fight against Satan when he comes whispering in our ears and tempting us to doubt God's word? Paul tells us, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. Put on the full armor of God, verse 13. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to, what? Stand your ground. You can sum up the book, the letter of Ephesians in three words. Seated, walk, stand. Seated, walk, stand. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Because of what Jesus has done, we are with him, seated with him. Because we are seated with Christ, we are to walk with Christ. We are to live a life. We are to walk in a manner that's worthy of our new status as new people who are seated with Christ. Seated, walk, stand. We are to stand against the devil's schemes. And so Paul says, stand, and then he lists the armor. That's what we need. This full armor of God. If we're going to take our stand against the devil. Now I need some more volunteers. Okay. Very good. That looks good. Let's have you guys. Come on down. He wins. Yes. Well done, Emmanuel, Laura, Annabelle. Okay. This is a jigsaw. I'd like you to make the jigsaw. Do you think you can do that? You go ahead. Come and stand round here so people have got more chance of seeing it. Put it like that, so that's probably easier. Yep. Yeah. Almost. Almost. It's one piece that's not quite right. That one's fine. That one's fine. No, it was right the first time. Yeah, like that. Excellent. Very, very good. You guys grab a chocolate and let me put some blue tack. Stuart Heap, eat your heart out. Who needs electric things and zip wires? That's what I say. There we go. Hey. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. So this is a Roman soldier. The kind of soldier that Paul would have had in mind when he was talking about the armor of God. Now, we're not going to go into detail about the different types of armor, particularly, but there is one main point that we need to know. The armor is the truth about what Jesus has done. It's the gospel. The armor is the truth about what Jesus has done. Satan comes at us, whispering in our ears, lies, throwing his darts of lies at us. And our armor is the truth about what Jesus has done. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Satan says, you're not good enough to be a Christian. And we say, of course, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. What a silly thought that would be. Jesus is good, and he's given me his righteousness. Gospel of peace, going out with our feet, preaching this message of peace between Jew and Gentile. Peace between every tribe and nation. Peace that's been won by Jesus dying on the cross. The peace that Satan flees from. Shield of faith to combat the darts of Satan. Faith in Jesus as opposed to faith in Satan. We can either believe Satan's lies or we can believe the truth about Jesus. And the helmet of salvation. We wear the helmet saying that we have been saved by Jesus. And there's nothing Satan can do about that. This is the armor of God. And we stand. Do you want to do the next couple of things? We missed out that bit. Yep, next one. So two facts about us. We stand in Jesus' victory. It's not about us winning our own battles. We don't run at Satan and say, hey, I'm going to defeat you, because we can't defeat him. We stand in Jesus' victory. Jesus has defeated Satan. We stand in that. A bit like David and Goliath. David defeats Goliath, the giant. Now we could, if we're an ancient Israelite, say, right, David's defeated the Goliath. I'm going to go out and fight a giant and defeat them. That would be a bit silly. Or we could say, David's defeated the giant. I'm going to stand next to David. Same with Jesus. Jesus has defeated the giant, Satan. We could say, I'm going to go and defeat my own giant, Satan. Or we could say, I'm going to go and stand next to Jesus. Stand in his victory. One fact about us. Two facts about us. We stand together in Jesus' victory. Now, Roman soldiers, these guys, on their own, they weren't much good. But together, they were almost invincible. These shields, probably even taller than this. And when they came against an enemy, front row of soldiers with a shield. And they would link their shields together. So you'd have shield, 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 shield. And then row behind them, you'd put your shield above the head of the soldier in front. So shield, 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 shield. Row behind them, shield above. So you'd have this kind of hedgehog type thing, this shield wall that no army could break. As long as people stayed together, you couldn't get through. Then they had their short swords that they could stab through. If they stood together, they were almost invincible. We stand in Jesus' victory. We stand together as his new people in Jesus' victory. Now, there are a few mistakes that we could make. The first mistake we could make is we don't realize there's still a battle. We become a Christian, we trust in Jesus. Brilliant. I'm just going to sit in my armchair and wait till Jesus comes and takes me to heaven. That could be our attitude. We don't realize there's still a battle. Satan is real. Satan is deadly. Satan has an army. And the Christian life is a battle. He is tempting us to doubt God's word. And if we don't stand, we'll effectively be surrendering. Next few bits, Adrian. William Gurnall, who wrote a book about this, says the saint's sleeping time is Satan's tempting time. If we're basically asleep, walking through life asleep to what Satan is doing, he is going to be tempting us and be very successful at that. So are you in an armchair or are you on a war horse? Second mistake we can make, we don't realize the battle is won. Jesus has won. Satan is defeated. We can think, we can be scared of Satan. We can think he's too deadly for us. And we can live our lives in fear and trembling. The battle is won. We can know peace and joy because Jesus has won. And third mistake we can make, we don't put our armor on. Or we put the wrong armor on. We go out there thinking, yes, I can deal with this Satan. We put the wrong armor on. We trust in our own righteousness. You're not good enough for God, says Satan. We say, I'm going to prove I'm good enough for him. I'm going to do lots of good works. We put the wrong armor on. Three mistakes we can make. How are you going to fight against Satan? Because he's fighting against you.